Running with Jake, the podcast. On this episode...
Okay, right, you're not a runner. Well, okay, cool, I get that. Do you do any running? Well, yeah, I did a couple of marathons. What? You're a runner? Oh, yeah, but I'm not a proper runner. Oh, right, sorry, you're not a proper runner. What constitutes a proper runner?
Running with Jake, the plodcast. Because every runner needs the occasional plod. And here's your host, Jake Lowe.
Full steam ahead, baby. We are back for another episode of the Running with Jake podcast. I'm Jake Lowe. I'm your host. I'm your running coach. I'm your motivator. This is the place for your weekly dose of running motivation. If you need lifting up, ready to get out there, bank some miles, whatever you're training for, whatever your reasons, whatever you run, it does not matter. We just care that we help you to get the best out of this amazing activity. Coming up later on the show today, I want to share with you 7 of my top tips to help you establish a solid base of fitness. Now, this is particularly important if you were training for a marathon and now that's been postponed to the back end of the year or maybe even deferred to the following year, 2021. But I'm going to share with you 7 top tips to help get you in the best shape possible before your main training begins. Now, you know, we don't use these phrases lightly. When we built this show, we said this is your weekly dose of running motivation, and it is absolutely that. And I have the proof. Last week's episode, we had the revelation that Pete, my producer of the podcast, is now a running guy. It is official. He's no longer the non-running guy. I've changed his title in my phone. Pete, you are running. You're doing the couch to 5K. I'm so proud of you. And I want to know, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going all right, but just can we back up a little bit, okay? This whole Pete's a running guy thing. I'm not a running guy. I'm just a guy who, for a few minutes every other day, has a little bit of a run. It doesn't make me a running guy. Like, I'm not a walker. I'm not a walker guy, but I
Why
do
not?
Walk.
Why are you not a walker?
I do walk to places because walkers are old men in big boots and with cardigans. I'm not that.
But I think this is a misconception. If you run, therefore you are a runner. I mean, we could take up the whole show debating over this. Because so many people talk about this. Oh, I'm not a runner. Okay, right, you're not a runner. Well, okay, cool, I get that. Do you do any running? Well, yeah, I did a couple of marathons. But what? You're a runner? Oh, yeah, but I'm not a proper runner. Oh, right, sorry, you're not a proper runner. What constitutes a proper runner? What would it take for you to be a runner, Pete? I'm interested. I want to hear this.
I think if I continue to run after this couch to 5K stupidity that I've managed to get myself involved in through some daft means, then if I continue to run and if I enjoyed running and I just thought I'm going to run for all of the benefits, and there are lots of benefits, I appreciate that. Well, I'm not yet feeling them, I'll be honest, but there are. But if I do go, I'm going to continue to run for those benefits, then I think I'd be able to call myself a runner. I think.
But look, you've got to stay patient. You're only on week 4. Well, look, you own a motorbike.
Yeah.
You don't go out all the time. I appreciate you're a bit of a fair weather rider.
I am.
But are you a biker because you own a motorbike? You're a biker. You've got a bike. It doesn't matter how often you use it across the year. You're a biker.
You know, I've had a bike for about 20 years. I've ridden a bike for about 20 years. I'm not a biker. I'm not a biker. Because I'm not one of those. I'm not like I don't wear a leather jacket with studs on the back, and I don't do wheelies, and I don't have a big beard, and I don't get home and you know, like, drink a whole pitcher of lager and then smash it on my head. If I did that, I'd be a biker. As it is, I'm not a biker.
That's a great picture you've just painted. So all bikers have big beards and wear leather jackets, drink pints of beer, and then smash the glass on their forehead. If we do have any bikers listening to the show, they will no longer listen. They've just outraged. Ratings are just going to plummet now. Cheers. That's
Listen,
really helpful.
If you're a biker or an old guy who's a walker, I do apologise. Whatever you do, don't rate the show. Because if you do, you'll probably give it 1 star. We don't need that.
We don't want to offend people on
no,
this show.
Don't.
This
no,
is
we
your
don't.
Weekly dose of running motivation.
I love bikers. And, I love walkers.
And talking of running, I did say to you, look, I'm really proud of where you are with this. I know the reasons why you got into running, and I want to sort of talk about this in a little bit more detail. But you are only in week 4 at the moment. I want to keep you on track. I want to use my skills as a coach and to motivate you. And I said, look, drop me a message. I love the old WhatsApp messages if you need to. Just keep me abreast of what's happening. I didn't mean while you were actually running.
It's bloody ridiculous. Pissing it now.
You've got to get used to the elements, Pete. If you're running in the rain, you're a runner.
If it wasn't for that cold beer I'm running home to, I think I got mental.
There's the real incentive.
The final run. It's 3 minutes long. But even if you're exhausted, it's really important you keep going right till the end.
All right, Mike.
You're doing really well.
See, even Michael Johnson is crediting you. He's saying that you're doing really well.
Michael Johnson knows nothing. Honest to God, Michael Johnson, right? He's the coach that I pick from the app, because you can pick a whole bunch of coaches, and I'm going,
he's
Michael
cool.
Johnson, it's got to be Michael Johnson, hasn't it? So he'll say, like, he'll go, I know it really hurts. I know how bad it is. I'm going, Michael, you've got no clue. You've got no clue. You don't feel bad after you've run for 90 seconds. I've run for 90 seconds. I'm on my arse. And you're telling me you know how it feels. You don't know how that feels, Mike.
You've got to start at square one. It is absolutely going to be worth it. You've just got to stay patient. And it's not easy. I mean, I speak to a lot of runners, obviously, that want to get into the sport. So they're very new to the whole thing, learning to do 30 minutes or 5K, or they get to that standard and then they're questioning whether they can go further and push on beyond that. And it's all about building that ability, but also that confidence. You need to know that you are able to take those steps forward. It does take time. And
yeah,
initially, we don't have that confidence. And I think you're doing absolutely awesome. And I'm sure everybody else listening to this show, you know, we like to have a laugh on the show. But let's face it, you are now out there in the rain and you are on your own because you're not with your son, Eddie, which is why you started this whole thing. You were running with Eddie. But what do you get out of running personally? Because there's no question that you must get something out of being out there. Otherwise, you would just go out and do it when you're running with Eddie. You are on your own when you sent me that message. There must be something that you get out of it, a driving force that's pushing you forward. And I can see I've got you on the video screen here, and when I pose that question, I can see you looking just a little bit reflective there. There's going to be something deep-rooted why you're doing this.
In all honesty, right, we do have a laugh about it on the podcast because I've got, you know, And it's absolutely true, I'm not a running guy, but at the same time, you're locked inside all day long, every day now. You're not going out and having fun and doing stuff like that. And initially, obviously, it was to do with getting the kid to have a shower. But then I did continue to do it, you're right. And I think just because I'm at a particular age in life, I've never been able to run particularly. I don't feel as if qualified like I'm able to run, because I'm quite a chunky lad as well, and I'd like to give it one last go. Do you know what I mean? And go, I don't want to be more unfit than I am now. And if I don't do something, then I am going to be more unfit than I am now as I head past up to 50, because I'm 45 now, and I don't want to be terribly unhealthy. Do you know what I mean? And also, there's a lot of boredom at the moment, isn't there? So I could go for a walk, but I know that I'm going to walk somewhere. I'm now going to walk home, and it's quite boring because I've done that quite a lot now. Because I'm just walking around the neighbourhood. If I could walk in a park or something, it wouldn't quite be like that. Whereas I guess it is also a challenge as well, and you're challenging yourself and you're trying to be better whilst getting out of the house. So I suppose that's the real reason, if you look at it. And I just like to challenge myself, because I don't normally challenge myself in life.
You're not somebody that gives up on things. I've known you a long time, and it doesn't really matter what that particular thing is that we're talking about, but you do like the challenge, and I know that you see things through to the end. And I'm really confident in your ability to go through. And it's probably funny for me to say that to you, or for you to hear. It's not funny for me to say it at all, because I really mean it and it comes from the heart. But I know that you will see this through. And even though you feel at the moment, week four of a Couch to 5K program, you don't feel like a runner, a proper runner, I know that you are, and you will see this through. And I can't wait to hear how you feel when you do tick that box, when you complete that 5K, and I'll be interested to know where you go from there.
I'll be interested to know where I go from there, mate, but it's got me doing it on crutches if we're not careful. But I am being really careful of what I do, because I'm very conscious of, obviously, when you twisted your ankle. So, like, when it was wet the other day, I wasn't jumping off curbs and stuff like that, because I'm going, I'm not good at this, you know, I've got to be careful. So, like, I'm going to the dip curbs and then I'm going over the road and I'm being really careful of where I go. And I've listened to your advice. And when there's grass there, I'll run on the grass so that it's not so impactful on my knees. Because I did have a knee operation a few years ago, and that does start to play up. You can feel it after I've done runs. And I also, the thing that worries me is I wouldn't want to go, I can't continue this because my knee's hurting too much. I don't want to do that. But at the same time, I've got to be very mindful of that, the fact that that knee does niggle me from time to time as well.
I love it. I love the thought process that you're going through. And you're dead right, having to read the ground and think about what you're doing. And there's so many skills involved in being able to run well. So that agility, the balance, coordination to a degree. And I think you need to develop that in time. And it is about being patient. And it sounds like you are being. I did say to you, however, look, if you've got any questions, just fire them my way. Of course, I want to help you. A good friend, a producer of the podcast. I didn't mean while you were actually running, which is again what you sent me another message. And I mean, I guess it is a question.
Is your tongue supposed to dry out? My tongue's dried out. I've got a brisk walk home now, mate. In the pissing rain. With a phone that isn't waterproof.
You should have bought the iPhone 11.
In fact, if my phone breaks, I don't have to do this again. If my phone breaks, can't do a podcast. If my phone breaks, my life's going to be better.
Look, I'm not sure that's entirely true, right? We're focusing on the phone breaking here. Yeah, okay. Your tongue is drying out. Is that normal? Is it supposed to dry out? Maybe you just need to keep yourself a little bit more hydrated. But, you know, in all seriousness, when you first start out running, and I've said this many times before, you've only really got one speed and one effort. Mm. And that speed, to you, is slow. It will feel slow. And the effort will feel very high. Mm, and as you get further into those weeks of running and you get that consistency and you commit to it, you're regular with your running. So it's not just about running frequently across the week. It's about being regular. So running week after week after week. Once you've got that consistency and develop that ability, you will broaden your range of speed. So you'll find it easier to manage your breathing, and you'll probably find that your mouth doesn't dry out quite as much. So keeping yourself hydrated is important, but also understanding that this is just part of the process of developing your fitness. And it will feel uncomfortable at the moment, but you'll get there.
I think the whole tongue drying out thing, to be fair, was just because of the panting. It was ridiculous.
Well, look, I believe in you. I know Michael Johnson believes in you. And if you are panting, you are definitely a running guy, because we all have a little pant every now and then. In fact, you are officially a running / biking / walking guy.
Still to come on Running with Jake.
The support is so heartwarming, and people are just coming up with brilliant ideas and, you know, hula hooping and twerking and goodness knows what.
Twerking, yeah, I did see that. I did see a few photos, actually, on there.
Any excuse to twerk and people will take it.
But now, with something even more interesting, here's Jake.
Now, I sense that after the initial disappointment of our spring marathons being deferred to the back end of the year, many of us are getting our head around this postponement. We have shifted the focus to autumn. I think, from what I can read in various forums, that people are also taking a relaxed attitude to this. Of course, with COVID-19, we cannot be certain that anything will go ahead this year. But all is not lost, whether it is the back end of this year or whether it's indeed next year, 2021, that we target our marathons and we get the chance at long last to tackle 26.2 miles. I think there is a positive in this situation. There is a lot to gain from this extended period of time that we've now been given. So I want to share with you 7 of my marathon base building tips that I think can really help you. Now, this will help you to run your marathon successfully when we do get that opportunity. And I think although we were working towards a spring marathon, many of us do miss out certain key elements of building a solid base of fitness. And it's often an area that's quite misunderstood where training is concerned. So these tips should help you, and I've got 7 for you. Right, number 1, the majority of your running when you are base building must be ran at an easy effort. So base building is as it sounds. It's like laying the foundation when building a house before you start to put the bricks on top. You've got to have a stable base for all the other sessions and the hard training to layer on top, if you like. So at this early stage of training, the majority of your running must be at an easy effort. Now, that's not easy to do, and we did touch on this in a previous podcast, and go back and check that out if you did miss it. And not all easy running is created equal. Now, we know it's awkward to run easy enough, and most of us end up running too quickly. And the benefits of easy running are to build your aerobic system, to build the resilience in your muscles, your bones, your tendons, your ligaments, so you can deal with the forces that running puts you under when the sessions do get more challenging. And there's lots of other benefits that you will gain from that easy effort, but it is awkward. But it doesn't mean that you have to have one specific pace. I've always said that easy running, the actual pace itself will ebb and flow. It can vary slightly. So let's say, for example, that your easy pace is between 9:30 minute miling and 10:30 minute miling. Well, some days you might run closer to 9:30 when you're feeling quite good and when the conditions are optimum. Maybe the course that you're running, the route is flat, so it lends itself nicely to running slightly quicker, but still within your easy pace boundaries. And other days, when perhaps the session or the conditions are not as good, maybe the course is a little bit more lumpy and bumpy, or maybe you're just not feeling great, or it's actually a longer run, in which case you might be better off moving closer towards 10:30 minute miling, so the slower end of your easy pace. Now, you can, if you're unsure what your easy pace is, there are pace calculators out there that you just punch in the numbers of a recent race time or a distance and a time that really matches where you are right now, and then it calculates roughly what your easy pace should be. So I will link that in the show notes, which is runningwithjake.com/podcast. Now, as part of that easy effort, you can include some strides. Now, I suggest that you do this after 6 or 7 weeks of very easy running, and then you start to bring some strides into your training. And strides are effectively relaxed sprints. So they typically last between 15 and 30 seconds. They're not all out effort, so they're not maximum speed, but it's just designed to incorporate some slightly quicker running into your training so that it improves your running form. Because if you think about it, when you start to run with a little bit more purpose and a little bit more pace, you start to run better. You sort of lift yourself up naturally and you're driving forward. Your form improves. So it's great to help improve your running form. And it also gets your body used to running slightly quicker, ready for when you get closer to the marathon, you get into some more structured and faster training. Tip number two for building a marathon, solid marathon base, is incorporate strength work. Now, I'm saying this a lot at the moment in lockdown. We've got an opportunity to include those home workouts. And it can be difficult because often people are saying, well, how do I fit everything in, Jake? How do I put all this in? Well, it is about being clever with time. And you don't have to do everything. So look at the time you've got in a typical week, and then look at how much time you can devote to training, irrespective of what that constitutes. And I think many of us as runners just think about running. But actually, if you've got, for argument's sake, 5 hours a week that you can commit to training, and I'm just making that number up, it may be the case that you don't commit 5 hours to running. You commit 4 hours to running, and then you have an hour to do some strength work or some drill work to improve your running form. Now, hill work can constitute as strength development work. So if you go out there, I'm doing this at the moment because I'm coming back from injury myself. I've got a little bit of a nice running base that I've developed over the weeks and months. If you follow me on Strava, you'll see. And I'm starting to incorporate some hill work, but it's not maximum effort. I'm not blasting up hills. I'm taking them at a moderate effort, but the idea is when running up a hill, because effectively gravity is being turned up, you're finding it harder, you're having to fight against gravity and that resistance, it constitutes as strength work. So you do get some strength developments there. So just incorporating a few hills into your weekly training, your base mileage at the right time, can definitely help you work towards that marathon. Number three is to incorporate drills or improve your movement and technique. Now, this is an area that's overlooked. If you're somebody, for example, that tends to cross your arms across your body, you know, the type of runner where you naturally swing across the arms across the body rather than forwards and backwards, which is obviously where you want to run. You want to run forwards. Well, if you're swinging them across the body, you're effectively sending energy to the left and to the right. So it's counterproductive to the direction that you want to move in. So you could spend some time during this base building phase when you're not working too hard. It's just predominantly lots of easy running, a few hills and a few strides, but predominantly easy. You might focus on arm swings. Or if you're somebody that notices from your finishing photos in those races where you start to drop the head and your shoulders start to round, you start to hunch your back a little bit, you may focus in your runs on just trying to keep your head up. You know, imagine the helium balloon attached to the top of your head and it's lifting you towards the sky when you run. That will enable you to improve your technique and your movement, which will lend itself nicely when you get close to the race. So, number four, iron out any lumps and bumps, as I say. I had a call with a good friend of mine the other week who has issues with his calves, and I can relate to this. That tends to be my weakness, a touch of shin splints here and there. And he's training for the Manchester Marathon. Obviously, now it's back end of this year, if all goes well, in October. And I said to him, look, now this is the time to really focus on those calves, because you tend to push it to the side and just almost ignore it because you just want to get out there and run. Well, actually, you're not in specific marathon training right now. So now you can spend time foam rolling or stretching or have a virtual session with a physio to get a real diagnosis of the problem and get to the root cause. You know, spend lots of time doing that stretching and foam rolling. Create those healthy habits. So ironing out any lumps and bumps you may have, whether that's issues with your hips, with your feet, whether that's calves, you will know the thing that plagues you a little bit and the thing that you have to keep your eye on. Well, use the time that you've got now to just get that nailed, ready for the tougher training. Number five, don't try to be fast now. Now, I see this a lot, and I've certainly been victim to this over the years, particularly in my early days of running. I wanted to do everything. I wanted to be fast now because I wanted to run the race fast. And the London Marathon, it was Flora London Marathon as it was back then, sponsored by Flora, which was 2008. I wanted to run it quickly, as quick as I could. So therefore, I wanted to run quick in training. I wanted to do everything. I think it really pays to take a step back and trust the process. Whatever process you are following, whether you have a training plan you've pulled offline or you're working with a running coach or you're working with me, I think it's important to trust the process and understand that it's like baking a cake. You've got all these various ingredients, but you don't need to add them into the mix all at the same time. You do it gradually. And it's exactly the same with training. That's how you do it. If you look at some of these, or all of the elite athletes, they don't try to be fast before the Olympics if that's their target. If they're building up for 4 years for an Olympic gold and it's their lifelong dream and their career and it's the legacy that they want to leave behind, well, they don't try to be as quick as they can 3 years out, 4 years out, 2 years out, 6 months out. They need to be as fast as possible and as fit as possible and as strong as possible on the day of the race. So don't try to be fast now and trust the process. So number six, I've got a couple more for you. Number six, which is a big one, is prepare the logistics and the infrastructure ready for when you do get stuck in to some more varied training. The volume increases, the intensity increases. Now, this might sound a little bit military, you know, prepare the logistics and you've got to get this infrastructure in place. But anybody that is listening to this show that has ran a marathon, irrespective of the number under your belt of those events, you will know that it is a huge deal. And there's a lot of things that need to happen for you to train well. It's important to have a solid support network around you, and you can prepare that support network now. And I've always said, to run a marathon, and particularly to run it well, you need an understanding partner, you need an understanding family, understanding friends. Now is the time to put them in the picture. Tell them what you're training for if they don't already know. If they do know, stress the sense of importance to you and what it means to you. And if they don't run, understandably, it's difficult for them to fully understand what is involved. So try and put that message across as well as you can so that they're on board. Because it can be difficult if you're having to rejig certain social gatherings or cancel dinner with friends on a Saturday night because you've got your long run on a Sunday once you get closer to the marathon and everything starts to get more intense. But just building that support network now, I think, is really going to help you. And it puts your friends and your family and your colleagues firmly in the picture. You could educate yourself. This is part of preparing the logistics and infrastructure. So there's books, there's listening to podcasts like this. If you have coaching, that can serve you to educate yourself and develop your ability. Because, okay, knowledge, I was about to say knowledge is power. Knowledge is potential power. We need the knowledge in the first place, and then it's up to us if we're going to use and apply it. But it starts with gaining that knowledge and educating yourself. And you can self-educate just by learning from experience, by going out there and experimenting with certain types of training or paces or technique work. So you can do that yourself. But actually getting your head into some books or podcasts, talking to your fellow running friends that are perhaps more experienced than you, speaking to coaches can really help you. I think looking at the frequency of runs that you're going to do when you do get stuck into the thick of it is important, and also the frequency of cross-training sessions, any cross-training sessions you're going to include. So whether cross-training, by the way, is an activity that is different from running but gives you similar benefits. So that could be an aerobic, a piece of a cardiovascular equipment in a gym once the gyms are back open. So like a cross trainer or a rowing machine or a static bike, it could be cycling outside, it could be swimming when we're able to do that again. So if you're going to include some cross training, let's look at how that is, how that works, how many sessions, when are you going to do it? Start to build that diary. Are you going to run with friends? Are you going to include some of your club sessions, running with the club? Is it going to be dark when you start getting into the thick of your marathon training? You know, do you have to think about certain routes that you've got to run? Or logistics, if we're all back at work then, are you going to run to work or run back from work? How are you going to fit your runs in around your life? So I do think spending some time getting those logistics nailed down and the infrastructure is really important. And I just think it helps your mind as well, because we all like to have a plan of action. We know what we're doing. It gets it out of our head. It's less for us to stress about. Organizing your kit, making sure you've got the trainers ready to tackle the distance and mileage that you're going to do through training. Have you got the right clothing for the weather conditions? Have you got base layers? Now it's potentially going to be a little bit cooler as we get further into autumn. So some things to think about. And the final point on marathon base building tips is to get your head around the task at hand. And I just touched on this briefly about how a bigger challenge this is, and going into this with your eyes open, those of you that have ran marathons before, but it is a marathon. And I've said so often that marathons are becoming more and more popular, more people are doing them, and I think that's such an amazing thing. But in some respects, I do question whether they've almost lost in some people's minds a certain sense of importance, or whether a certain degree of complacency can kick in. Now, I'm not saying everybody, of course, but I do think there is a risk of that because they're so popular and everybody appears to be doing them. And race event organisers are plastering all the information about their races all over social media, and they look fun, and people have big smiley photos and people dressed up. And that's very much a reality. But also it's important to know that actually this is a mammoth task. It is 26.2 miles. And I think respecting the race, respecting the distance, respecting the volume of training required, the frequency of training required, and the time that you need to commit will help you to achieve your goal, and you'll enjoy the journey. You won't begrudge it as much. So I'm not trying to scare you by saying that at all, because it's just the most amazing thing, and it gives me goosebumps thinking about running a marathon now, and I cannot wait for the Manchester Marathon in 2021. But just respect the volume of training required, respect the frequency needed, and the time that you will have to commit. So a very quick recap, 7 marathon base building tips to help you get in tip-top shape, ready for when the real training starts. Number 1 is the majority of your running must be at an easy effort. That's really important. Build that solid foundation. Number 2 is incorporate some strength training into your work. Do it now. We've got the time and it's going to pay dividends in the future. Number 3 is you could incorporate some drills and improve your movement and your running technique, whether that's focusing on arm swings or focusing on keeping your hips lifted and pushed forward or keeping your head up, working on breathing. Number 4, if you've got any little issues or niggles at the moment, now's the time to iron out those lumps and bumps rather than waiting till you get into the thick of training and then it becomes a full-blown injury. Number 5 is trust the process. Do not try to be fast now. We have months and months and months. Time is very much on your side, my friend. Number 6 is prepare the logistics and infrastructure. Yes, get a little bit military. Make sure you've got your support network ready to rock. They all know the score. They're all going to support you and help you on this amazing journey. Think about how many times you're going to run. Are you going to incorporate cross training sessions? Get everything in place. And number 7 is make sure you go into this with your head, go into this task with your eyes fully open. Get your head around the task and make sure that you don't begrudge it when the heat does get turned up, which it will. And above all, enjoy the journey, because you are about to train for a marathon. And that is a very special thing indeed.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Your weekly dose of running motivation, out every Wednesday. Never miss an episode by subscribing now.
Now, we know so many running events have been cancelled, and many charity events too. We were booked to do a load of stage work at the Cancer Research UK Race for Life this year, but they've all been postponed. We've got Paula on now. She's from Cancer Research UK. Paula, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So tell me then, how are things going with regards to, events. And I mean, you guys at the Race for Life have got so many events, and obviously such a powerful reason and driving force behind your events, raising money for Cancer Research UK. How hard were you guys hit with the lockdown situation and the cancelling of these events? Where are you at the moment with everything?
It's been devastating, as you can imagine, having to just sort of halt, stop in our tracks. We're right in the middle of, or just about to launch Race for Life. Last year, just to put it in context, we raised over £2 million just in the Midlands Race for Life region alone. And suddenly we're faced with having to cancel them. But obviously, you know, we didn't want to say that they're all cancelled. We tried our best to postpone as many as we could, and we've done really well, actually. So we've managed to get lots of them, most of them postponed. So we're just hoping that they will still be able to go ahead. But obviously, we don't know that at the moment. So meanwhile, we are doing our best to launch Race at Home. So we're saying to people, look, we're not stopping. We can't just give up. Cancer's still happening. So whatever you want to do, it doesn't have to be running 5K, but if you could think of a challenge that you could do at home, then do it. And even if it's just training for those races that are coming up in August, September, we just don't want people to forget about the amazing thing that is Race for Life.
So you've really had to pivot here, haven't you? As many businesses, organisations, events have had to do. And it's amazing, because so many people, I'm finding, and I'm interested to get your take on this, Paula, but so many people seem to have really embraced the whole training at home thing. I mean, it's just, it's what you have to do now, isn't it? Obviously, we're allowed out for a little bit of exercise, not going too crazy, can't be out for hours on end and things, but it's amazing. Do you find people are really embracing it?
Well, they are, actually. We were a bit worried at first. We thought, is this actually going to work? But we've launched it online, and you can. There's a Facebook group now called Race at Home, and I've been looking at it, and the support is so heartwarming, and people are just coming up with brilliant ideas, and you know, hula hooping and twerking and goodness knows what.
Twerking, yeah, I did see that. I did see a few photos, actually, on there.
Any excuse to twerk and people will take it.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. That's the nice thing. A lot of people going, well, I can't do, you know, to start with, I think a few people concerned because they thought, oh, it's 5K and that's a lot to do in your daily walk, and you've got kids and they don't want to do it, or they want to, you know, but actually it's worked to say, you know, do it your way. What do you want to do? And people actually then coming to us with really, really good ideas.
It's about getting creative, isn't it? I think people have to now, from homeschooling to working from home if people aren't used to that. Obviously, training is a big part of people's lives, certainly the people that listen to the podcast. And it is about how creative can we be and how can we manage our time? And, you know, throwing themselves into different events at home, or different activities rather, and with you guys saying, look, you know, it doesn't have to be 5K, go and run it round the garden if you like, but actually if you haven't got the option to be able to do that, then come up with your own twerking challenge or whatever, and of course still raising money for cancer research, which is just amazing. Pete and I were at Pretty Muddy, which is the muddy side of your events, the obstacle course, which we were at last year in Nottingham. But we were really looking forward to it, weren't we, Pete, getting involved again this year?
My favourite part is as an unattractive man, as I stand by the finish line, at no point do people ever want to hug me, but when you stand at the finish line in a white shirt, what happens is, for some reason, everybody who passes the finish line wants to celebrate by hugging you. So I was really looking forward to that.
And that's, you know, it's another idea for people doing stuff at home. What kids wouldn't want to cover their parents in mud?
Oh, there you go now. Now you're starting with the ideas. This creativity thing's gone too far.
Well, I've got some video of one of our supporters, actually. I have to put that out. It's a good idea. You've just given me a really good idea. But yes, we've got two girls, one young girl who survived cancer, bless her. Last year they did a little video for us. They were bouncing around on space hoppers, getting their hands in the mud, and then the mum comes out to do a little chat to me, and of course then they've got both their hands in the bucket of mud and plastered them on a mum's face.
Wow.
Which is very good of her to get involved and let them do that, but it was great. So I have to put that out just to give people a few ideas.
So what's your gut feeling at the moment, Paula? Because I'm interested to know. Obviously, there's so many big events that have been postponed in the country and in the world. Can you see these going ahead? What's your gut feeling on these big marathons that have been rescheduled to the back end of the year?
Oh, you know, I was dreading you asking me that.
It's difficult, isn't it?
I don't know. I just am burying my head in the sand a bit about it at the moment because, like many people, I just don't want to think about it not happening. My gut feeling, maybe by October, November will be okay. We've still got some scheduled for August, September, I'm hoping. I mean, we're supposed to be going on holiday in August. I don't think that'll happen, but again, the kids keep saying, are we still going away? And there's no point in worrying about it until you know.
One thing that the last few weeks has taught us, I think, is to deal a little bit better with the unpredictable, you know, because I've always liked predictable stuff, and all of a sudden you're being forced to deal with stuff that you have no idea what the outcome's going to be, and I don't think that's probably not bad for us, to be fair.
It's such a state of limbo, and I think nobody really knows what's going to happen. It's probably a little bit of an unfair question for me to ask you, but of course a lot of people are asking it at the moment. A lot of people initially, when these races were postponed, there was that frustration, and to a degree not so much anger, but just really looking forward to it. It's what I was working towards, and then people sort of come to terms with it. And then there's the, well, actually, is that going to go ahead? And I say to a lot of my runners and the people that follow me, I think it's really important in these times to manage expectations, because if you really set yourself up and build yourself up to something because of the situation at the moment, we just don't know, and you're setting yourself up for disappointment. I think
you're right, and that's the great thing about Race at Home. Is a lot of people have been able to, you know, people that have entered Race for Life, obviously that entry is valid for the postponed event, which is great, and they can work towards that. But should that not happen, then, you know, there are other options, and we just want people to be safe at the end of the day. And you know, we're just all hoping people are showing initiative and doing what they can do.
It's been fantastic to talk to you. I really appreciate your time and finding out what's happening with the redirection for certainly this year's events. Hopefully we'll be back to normal very soon. You know, there's nothing that quite like that physical contact, isn't there, and being together in the same space and sharing the mud, as it were, with the pretty muddy events and everything else.
If you go online, there's a really sweet little video that we put together with people. Supporters have sent us little clips and things, and you know, although we're apart, we're still together, and that's very much the message that we're trying to get across now. And it's really like a community when you go on that page.
Technology and social media can be flipping awful sometimes, but you know what, I think over the last few weeks it's been an absolute lifeline, and I think that's a really good example of it there.
Yeah, a very good friend of mine said to me the other week, he said, it's not social distancing, it's physical distancing that's in place. We don't have to lose the social connection. And I think there's an important message there about social media and what Pete touched on there, that sometimes, you know, it's not always the best thing to consume, but you choose what you consume. And let's choose the positive stuff to consume, I think. Keep our spirits high, keep active, and we'll all be ready to see each other at these events soon, I'm sure.
Perfect. Thank you.
For the show notes and video content, go to runningwithjake.com/podcast and follow us on social media.
It's #AskJake, and Daniel sent me a message. Hi, Jake. I'm fairly new to running, and I'm even newer to Strava. I've just signed up. I'm not particularly brilliant with technology. Do you have any great pieces of advice? Yes, I do. Strava is fantastic, but most people actually use the app, and they use the app on its own, and it's really good. But you know what? If you log on to the desktop version of Strava, it actually gives you a lot more features. And one of the best features is the training log. And your training log is simply your training diary. And you can see at a glance exactly how many sessions you've done each week and over the months and over the years. You can see what sort of training you've done. So whether that's running, cycling, swimming, cross training, whatever it might be. And you can just see how consistent you've been. And it's really helpful to know how to adjust your training, because obviously injury often comes from overload and too much stress and building too quickly. Well, keeping your eye on your training log each week just enables you to make those necessary adjustments and enables you to manage your volume. So definitely check out the desktop version of Strava as well as the app. If you've got a question, it's hashtag AskJake. That's it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Great to have your company. We'll see you back here next time. If you want to keep up to date with all the content from today's show, the show notes are on runningwithjake.com/podcast. You can head over there, check out the photos, the videos, any recipes from any of the things that we talk about on the show can all be found there. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review, subscribe to the podcast. Oh, and one last thing. There is no elevator to success. Man, you've just got to take the stairs.